From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through GEICO, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Many of you woke up this morning or saw the news online or on social media about golf superstar Rory McIlroy and his wife Erica Stahl. They've called off their divorce after they made the announcement just a number of weeks ago. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist and author of Relationships on the Edge, is with us here on the line today. I suppose, Stephanie, in the first instance, it's probably good news.
Yes, Andrea. Hi. Well, I think it's lovely news, I have to say. I think it is unusual. It's not kind of news we hear a lot in Ireland, because obviously there's a lot of waiting before people living apart and all of that before a divorce. Whereas in the States, you know, it can be kind of immediate. So there's that factor, I think, to it. But I think it's really lovely that a couple have, you know, like Rory and his wife have come to that point and kind of revised their thinking and resolve those differences, because sometimes people go to the brink, and it is the very brink that actually shows them what they've got and what they really, you know, have and what they can lose. So, yeah, for me as a therapist and as a relationship kind of person, I would say I thought it was lovely news.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate too much. It's not our place or any of my business to do that, Stephanie. But I imagine, is that common? Because maybe it's different in the States in that you file the papers for a divorce and then to retract them.
Well, I think, yes, I think it's certainly uncommon, and it would be highly uncommon here because, as I say, the process is so long and drawn out. But I think if you talk about coming back from the brink, you know, that's the way I see it. People do often go to the brink with relationships and walk out that door and decide this is it, I cannot take any more. Or there's, some question mark over fidelity, or there's some question mark over trust or something like that. But often, you know, that can be a new beginning. If those things are faced completely and faced squarely and properly, a kind of a reset can be established. And I see that quite a lot, frankly.
Keith Walsh, a family law or divorce solicitor, is with us here, Stephanie, in studio as well. Yeah. Do you see many people typically retracting applications?
Not that many. Some people reconcile later on in the process. That can happen. But as Stephanie pointed out, it's different in Ireland because you have to wait 2 years. You have to be living separate and apart for 2 years in Ireland before you can apply for a divorce.
It used to be longer, wasn't it?
It used to be 4 years until the referendum in 2019. So it's only recent enough. It's a year apart for a separation application to court, but it can be any point for a deed of separation. But also, what's different about America in particular is the public filings. We're able to find out all this information. For example, we found out about they have a prenuptial agreement. We found out about the age of their daughter, the fact that the basis for the divorce was irretrievable breakdown, that they intended to do a shared parenting plan. All of this was reported in the newspapers as having been filed in the court in Florida where they live. So that information isn't publicly available in Ireland at all. It's in camera or behind closed doors. So there is a greater degree of privacy, which is really aimed to protect the husband and wife separating, and also the children, most importantly.
You see, that's the big part of this, Stephanie, really, isn't it? Like, it's the fact that, as Keith pointed out, these details are now a matter of public record. They've been, as Keith listed them, they've been listed before the courts. People speculate, people talk, we're discussing it. But there are also people with very, very big and public profiles. And it adds to the difficulty in all of this for them.
Yes, I'm sure it does. But once again, I think there are people who are, I mean, there has to be a lot of stress in that high exposure kind of world and in the competitive world that he is in. But, you know, they're kind of used to that. They're geared up to that. I think it's always hard to do these things in the lens, you know, in the public lens. But still, the way it was said, I thought, showed to me that they had both, they were looking forward to a new beginning, you know, that they had recognised that there was a future together. It was both parties, from both parties. And that to me just says whatever there was an issue about, which I have absolutely no idea about, you know, I didn't see anything online about what that issue was. But we know the common kind of issues that bring people to the brink. And they have looked into that. They've come back from that and they found a way forward. And, you know, it's a young love. It's a young relationship. It has the potential and the, you know, usually in those younger years, you may have very intense rows or very intense difficulties. But the people can change. They have the capacity to change. They have the capacity to kind of heal each other, you know, and heal the relationship again, because the love is still intense. And if you like, passion and desire is still intense. And I think those things help in this instance, not, you know, Rory and Erica, but in any young relationship, 10-year relationship. And children, of course, and I'm not saying this child, but they have a young child of three. There's a lot of very specific things that go wrong in the beginning when children are born into a relationship, a lot of stresses that are new. And, you know, there may be some of that in play. I have no idea. But if so, then again, they've met each other and reconciled. They've found a way to understand each other, to hear each other, and to find a new path forward. I mean, Keith there mentions, you know, you're dealing with marriage all of the time in the legal sense, and I in the other sense. And the heartbreak, the difficulty, how long it goes on, the process of divorce. Mm. It is a very, very painful difficult business.
And particularly, we mentioned, Keith, when you're doing it so publicly, maybe the Irish system, for all its faults, then isn't all that bad.
Well, certainly the privacy aspect of it is good. Even in the UK, it's much less private. And you see where you're not married, and for example, couples who aren't married and they have a dispute about the house, or financial disputes, that can be reported by the courts. And it's very unfortunate. It causes huge stress for people as well. So it's one of the few exceptions to justice being done in public. Another thing that's different in Ireland to America that maybe isn't as positive, and we could look to change it, is the introduction of prenuptial agreements. As part of the court filing in Florida, it said that Rory McIlroy and Erica had already completed a prenuptial agreement at least a month before they got married. At the minute, prenuptial agreements can take a lot of the heat out of a dispute if they were recognised, because you go back to the prenuptial agreement and you start and you say, well, look, what did we agree? And what are we going to do? And it gives you a kind of framework to work things out where it has genuinely ended.
Why don't we have them, Keith?
Well, I suppose we're relatively new in terms of divorce. Divorce really is only, it's not even 30 yeah. years in this country. And also there's a huge, even the referendums this year have shown that the Irish people's view about divorce or about the place of the husband or the wife or the children in the home. So it's a traditional thing. There was a report done in 2006, 2007, which proposed the introduction of prenuptial agreements and the recognition of them within the Irish legal framework, but no action has been taken on them. Now, I know the Law Society, various farmers groups have lobbied for the consideration of prenuptial agreements.
I've no doubt we'll get stories now today from Keith, or, you know, from listeners, Keith, with really difficult experiences of, you know, disputes after divorce and separation can be incredibly difficult for people. Do you think it's something we should bring in?
I definitely think we should look at it. I think we certainly need a number of safeguards for prenuptial agreements. So if you had them, you can't do them the day before the marriage or the week before. So you really have to avoid the pressure on the slightly more vulnerable of the two people. And there always will be one person who maybe has less money who feels a bit pressured into it. They will definitely have to get, for example, their own independent legal advice. There'd have to be plenty of time for them to consider it before they get married, and a variety of other maybe safeguards in it. And maybe that prenuptial agreement may or may not change throughout the course of the marriage. There could be different terms depending on how long the marriage lasts. And also if you have children, it might change things. So there's a whole, I think there's a load of safeguards. I think we certainly should look at it. I think we should be talking about it. There is an election coming up, and no doubt the IFA and other groups will be looking to include prenuptial agreements in party manifestos. Okay. So I think it will come up.
Just finally, Stephanie, it really takes the romance out of it, doesn't it? Will you sign in the dotted line?
I don't know. I think, look, we have to be realistic. It's not about you know, it is an arrangement that needs to work. It's a contract that needs to work. And, you know, marriages are breaking very, you know, at a huge rate. And we know that we're probably going to follow the trajectory of other countries. And I think that we have to be practical about that matter. I see it at the other side, and I think the destruction on family and children. And it's where children end up being protected as well if there is less fighting. And I think the prenup and much more, I'm not sure about all the privacy factors. I know Keith mentions that as a great plus, and I see the plus of it.
Yeah.
But I also
okay.
see a big negative of everything being private.
I don't think I'd have any issue with a prenuptial agreement.
Yeah. I mean, provided it's done fairly in plenty of time, you know, it can work.
Keith Walsh, family law solicitor. Stephanie Regan there, clinical psychotherapist and author of Relationships on the Edge. Look, if you have an experience or a story that you want to share with me about this, whether it's prenuptial agreements or maybe your divorce or separation, drop me an email if you like, if you want to share it. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. That is the email address.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.